we as Christians celebrate our liberation from oppression, and so we celebrate this feast, and so it isn't it is a time also for celebration, and it replaces actually a more ancient feast, which was the first fruits of the land. So the Hebrews borrowed it from the pagans, and we borrowed it from the Hebrews, and so all of us get to celebrate Pentecost, which means 50 actually. So that's what we come to celebrate 50 days after Easter. The 50 days after Easter now in the period of the church is called the Mystagogia. It is the unfolding of the mysteries of our faith over these 50 days. And so what we have on this feast is part of Christ's fulfillment to not leave us orphans, and he sends the Holy Spirit. Last week we heard that the disciples should not leave the city of Jerusalem until they receive the Spirit. And this week we hear that they receive the Spirit, and it's really very interesting. I don't know about you, but I've never seen a hurricane or a tornado, but I have a feeling, so it's fixed in my mind, probably from The Wizard of Oz, what a tornado might be, right? But it's fixed in my mind, but I've never experienced it. And so I think that if we had directly that experience, our lives would be radically changed by that. I don't think anything would ever seem the same. And I think that's what happened here at Pentecost. We know historically that something happened. Something happened to transform the disciples into apostles. Something happened that allowed them to feel as if they were on fire with the word of God, and unless they spoke it out, I think their heads would have blown off. And so that's the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is the same Spirit that hovered over the formless mass in Genesis. It is not a different Spirit. It's the same Spirit who comes here to us today in St. Francis and every Sunday, and hopefully opens our minds and our hearts to receive in important ways the word of God. But we know that all of the people who were in Jerusalem celebrating the feast were aware of something different. And we hear in the first reading that they were Medes and Elamites and inhabitants of Mesopotamia. And yet they were saying, aren't not these people Galileans? Aren't they Galileans? We know they're from Galilee. How is it that we can hear them in our own language? What an astounding feat that must have been, right? And I was thinking that the language that they were listening to was really the language of love. And so we all know that. We absolutely all know that. When I'm down at the prison, at the jail on Sunday, I stumble through my Spanish as best I can. But what I know is that when we come together in that place and we speak about the love of God, we all understand that. It is the energy that transforms us. It is when we speak about love, sometimes not just with our words, but with our facial expressions, or with a smile or a kind gesture. That really is the message of this feast in many, many ways. It is the Spirit that unifies us. It is the same Spirit that hovered over the formless mass at the beginning of creation that moves in us to bring us to this place together and allows us that unity that we experience in the love of God. The second reading that we had today is beautiful from Corinthians, and it really does speak about how God is really the prime source of all of our life and all of our actions. In Paul says in Corinthians that it is the Spirit of God within us that cries out, Abba, Father. It is God that dwells within us that leads us to that prayer, the same prayer that Christ prayed the night before he died, to the same God. It is all of us. And so I was thinking that each of us are given different gifts, and we know that. We absolutely know that. But it is the same Spirit that brings all of those gifts together in meaningful ways. When I think about us gathered here, some of you bring many different gifts. Some of you have skills with wood, or you have skills with Vince made these carpet pieces for us. John cleaned the candles for us. Kent played the guitar for us. I was going to say Tony Marie, but Darby read for us. Right, each of us come with different gifts. Each of us brings something to be transformed by God's love, each and every one of us. But it is all the same Spirit. I also think about how we come here, that it says in Corinthians that God calls each of us up for a specific reason. And that's called a charism, right? That's how we call talking about charism. St. Francis of Assisi was called into existence for a reason. I'm not always sure what that is. I don't really know what that is, but I know that when we gather here on Sunday, or we gather up in Cafe Eclectic, or we get together for the Alley Forney Center, or we go down to Asbury Park, that we are gathered for a reason. I sometimes think that reason is to provide a healing and welcoming presence to all of God's people. I hope that that's what it is. But I do know that in my prayers, that when I pray for the parish of St. Francis of Assisi, that we have been called into existence for a reason. I think now we're called into existence to give witness to the all-inclusive love of God in our world, so that when people come here, they find a home immediately. They find a place that welcomes them. They find a place that embraces them. Several of you have emailed me, and I appreciate that. And you say that when you come here, or you have experiences in different places, that when you come here, it really does feel as if you're welcomed here. It does feel as if you're at home here. It does feel that somehow maybe the Spirit of God in its manifestation to the parish church of St. Francis of Assisi has allowed us really to fulfill some of that mission. And as we grow and develop, and most of you, I know most of your names, even though I may forget, right? It feels a little bit like what was happening in the early church. It feels a little bit like what was happening with the apostles. And we know their names. We know, for example, that there was Dorcas, and that there was Mary, and that there was Mary, the mother of John Mark. We know those names. And from those people went out this tremendous message of God's love. That's at the heart of the gospel, always at the heart of the gospel. And so when we have this reading from the Acts of the Apostles about the descent of the Holy Spirit with tongues of fire and this inrushing of creative energy, what came with that was the sevenfold gifts of the Holy Spirit. What are they, John? You just received your confirmation, not even a year ago. So what are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? Help them. I remember when I was receiving my confirmation, Cardinal Kroll went, stood at the foot of the altar there, and he asked us all these questions. And God forbid if we didn't know them, right? God forbid. What are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? You remember, John? Perseverance? Courage? Wisdom? What else?
Fortitude?
Fear of the Lord? What else? Nobody's making eye contact. Knowledge? Right? What else? Did we get them all? No, we didn't get them all. Anyway, here at St. Francis, we have five. So we'll pray for the other two. But this is what happens to us. As a community, right, we help each other. We maybe don't remember all of those lessons, but we know that in many ways it moves in real ways in our lives. And hopefully, when we come here and we pray about what we do here, we might ask God in many ways to give us that wisdom and that knowledge, to help us follow in the path that he calls us. It isn't always easy, I don't think. But this is what I really do think about Pentecost. That in the disciples' maybe darkest moments, when they were huddled in fear, Christ came and stood in their midst and announced peace. And it must have been very, very frightening. It must have been very, very scary. But he kept announcing peace. Three times he announced peace to them. And I think all of that was in preparation for getting them ready for Pentecost. He wanted them to know that no matter what happened, he would never leave them. That's the message for us, that no matter what happens to us in our life, God is never far from us. And he comes in our midst and he announces peace. He prepares us for these gifts of the Holy Spirit. We just have to receive them. And this is what I think about the transforming power of receiving the Holy Spirit, that every day we can have a Pentecost in our heart, that every time we smile at someone, every time we reach out in a reconciling way to another who we may have had some difficulties with, every time that we say that we're sorry, or every time in our darkest moments, if we hold on to the fact that God loves us and gets us through the next day in the darkest energy, that becomes for us the Spirit dwelling within us. It is the Spirit of Christ who reminds us that every day can be Pentecost for us. Every day we can have this reawakening of God in our lives through the power of the Spirit. We just have to be willing to receive it. We just have to be willing to embrace it. So that this Feast of Pentecost, which ends our Easter season, next Sunday is even a greater challenge to preach about, which is Trinity Sunday. And so maybe we'll have a silent reflection for Trinity Sunday. But in many ways, when we come to the end of this feast, we bring together all of the mysteries of our faith in one. And we receive, in many ways, the Christ promise to not leave us orphans, and the promise that the Spirit working within us will do far greater things than we can do if we trust that. And so with great courage, we move forward. So let's continue in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.